can take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. Aren't you glad that there are some people who know how to sing? Then there's the rest of us. I'm going to be preaching a message titled, Take the Next Step. And I was thinking, joining the choir or getting into a special group is not the next step for me. And it's probably not the next step for some of you either. But there are some steps that the Lord would like us to take. You know, sometimes we look around and we see other Christians and say, wow, man, they're really strong Christians and they're really, you know, on fire for God. But let me tell you something. There's really no super Christians. We don't have any super Christians in our church. We may have some stronger Christians than others, but the reason is because they have taken steps that God has wanted them to take. And God has a series of steps for every one of us. And as we take those steps for Him, we find ourselves where He wants us to be, doing the things He wants us to do, with a life filled with His blessings. And contrary-wise, when there are steps that God wants us to take, we're going to miss out on those blessings. We're going to miss out on His provision for our life and His protection and His peace and all those wonderful things that He has for us. And so, again, don't step back and say, well, I'm just not like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. God doesn't want us to be, except for one area, is that is just being simply obedient to take the steps that God wants us to take. And I want to begin here in Psalm 37. I've got two verses, and then we will pray. And Psalm 37, verse number 23 and 24 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he," that's referring to the Lord, "delighteth in his way." That's the good man's way, who takes the steps that God tells him to take. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Why? "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us, your many blessings. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, how you have given us instructions. It's quite simple. Sometimes we're stubborn, we're rebellious, we're disobedient, we're hesitant, and we fail to take the steps that you want for us. And we know by experience, those of us who are saved, that when we do take steps for you, we're happy. Our life is blessed, and things are so much better off. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us each to step back and look at our lives and examine our hearts, see where there are some steps that maybe you've been working on us about that we haven't taken, that we'd be willing to make that decision to take that step today. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way. Give me wisdom and strength and power, clarity of mind. And Lord, guard my tongue to say the things that should be said and to refrain from those that shouldn't. I pray, Lord, that we'll just be dependent on you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God has a plan for your life. He has a path for each one of us to follow. You know, if you take steps, the steps that He has directed, that means that your life will be pleasing to Him and you'll be blessed because you've been pleasing to Him. Some steps are very specific to each individual. For instance, you know, there was only one of us that was supposed to marry my wife, and that was me, okay? That was a step God wanted me to take and not you. All right? And don't even think of it, okay? And so, you know, God had Pastor Parrish take the step of being the youth pastor. That was a specific step for his life. You see where I'm going with it. So there are certain steps that are particular to the individual. And there are other steps that are common to us all. Those are the ones I want to focus on today in the message. Okay? You see, walking with God, you hear that term sometimes, is nothing more than taking a series of steps that He wants us to take. So, if you claim to walk with God, that means you are taking the steps that He has put in the Word of God for you. And when we cease to take those steps, We are ceasing to walk with God. You may have walked with God yesterday because you were taking the steps He told you to take, but today you decided not to take some steps. Well, you're not walking with God anymore. You're going to miss out on His blessings. And so we've got to make sure that we are taking those steps. Some of you right now are thinking about steps you know God wants you to take. You're missing out. And you need to take those steps. So our text speaks of the steps of a good man. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good person. I want to be the one that God looks down and delights in my way. I don't want him to look down and say, I don't like what's going on there. I'm going to have to send a little bit of trouble and a little bit of correction in his life to straighten him out. I don't like having to be corrected. I'm thankful he does correct me, but I'd rather avoid some of that. And that can happen when I take the right steps. When I get, when I misstep and take the wrong steps, well, God's not happy. And he's going to have to work in ways I'm not really wanting to have happen. And the same thing happens with you. So, by way of introduction, I want us to consider just a couple of thoughts about the passage here, these two verses I've read. And then we'll discuss some particular steps that God wants us all to take. Okay, so notice with me three things from this text passage, all right? These are not my main points. These are just by way of introduction to put it all in context. And this shows God's involvement with our steps. First thing I see here is divine direction. Notice with me there in verse 23, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by who? The Lord. That means God directs my steps. He orders me. He orders you what to do. See, well, I don't like that. Well, it's too bad. He makes the rules. He's God. He has every right to tell us what to do. And there are consequences when we break the rules. And we miss out on things. And so he decides which way we should go in our lives. And too often we only want to follow him when his way matches up with our desires. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble. And let's be honest and let's face it. There are steps that we just don't want to take. You know that's true. So I know what God wants me to do, but I'm holding out. Well, you're not going to win. I'm not going to win. God's a little bit bigger than we are. And he is working in our lives and he wants us to take those steps. And we hold out. And we hold out like that little child. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to win. So we see divine direction. Secondly, I see divine delight. This is God delighting. The Lord delights in our steps when we follow him. It says there, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that means the Lord delighteth in his way. There's a special promise for those who please God is found. And you don't have to turn. I've got a lot of verses. I'll try to remember to tell you when to turn to the ones we need to look at. But 1 John 3:22. Listen to this promise that God gives to those whose ways please the Lord. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Oh, that's answers to prayer. But who's that promise given to? It says, who gets this? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when I'm doing the things that please him, then I can have confidence that when I pray, God will answer my prayers. But when I'm not pleasing him, and when you're not pleasing him, don't expect much from the Lord. Okay, we're in Psalm 37. Look back at verse number 4. It says, delight thyself also in who? In the Lord. And then what happens? And he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Boy, if I'm delighting in the Lord, I'll have the right desires. And because I have the right desires, I'm going to take the right steps. And because I'm taking the right steps, God looks down and delights in my ways and says, I'm going to give him the desires of his heart, and he's going to bless me. Wow, that's some good stuff. God's going to answer our prayers. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us what we want, those good desires, those wholesome, godly desires. And if we delight in His way, those blessings will be ours. Now, if you're not striving to please God, He's under absolutely no obligation to please you and answer your prayers. Now, think with me. Perhaps you've been praying about something very important, and you haven't gotten an answer. Could it be that some important answer to prayer for your life, for your family, is being hindered because of your stubbornness, your refusal to take a step God's been working on your heart about? See, this is pretty important stuff. As a dad, I better make sure I'm taking the steps God wants me to take so God will give me the wisdom to lead my family. Amen? Our marriages aren't going to be what they need to be unless we as individuals are taking the steps that we know God wants us to take. I don't want to stand before God on the judgment day and have to give an account for problems in my family because I didn't take steps as an individual. This is serious stuff. So I see, thirdly, not only is there divine direction and divine delight, but there's divine deliverance. Notice in Psalm 37, verse 24, though he fall, that's the good man. That means sometimes we're going to slip up. He shall not be utterly cast down. Praise the Lord for that. Why? Because it says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. After we get saved, we're still prone to stumble because we have a weak, corrupted flesh. But praise the Lord, God will hold us up. What a blessing to realize that He'll hold our hand as we try to take steps that are pleasing to Him. And if you fall, reach up. He'll grab your hand. He'll pull you back up on your feet. Now, don't fear taking steps for God because He's there to help you through them. Some of us, maybe we know what the Lord wants us to do, and we're afraid to move forward. Maybe God wants you to get baptized. Man, I'm afraid to get up there in front of all those people. Let God hold your hand. You say, maybe God wants you to, who knows, maybe God's been working in someone's heart about being a missionary, answering the call to become a preacher, or getting more involved in one of the ministries of the church. And you're holding out on Him. You're a little bit hesitant, a little bit fearful. We're not going to take those steps. We're not going to have those blessings. We say, well, I can't. That's true, we can't. But what does it say? It says, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God will grab your hand and he'll assist you. So you know what that means? We can do it, can't we? We don't have to sit there in fear and anxiety. We have to just be obedient. Now, I want to illustrate the importance of steps. Okay, leading up to this platform here, there's a series of six steps. All right. Now, if I want to get up there, I have to take some steps. I'm not going to get up there. I don't have beam me up, Scotty, going on here. All right. I need to take some steps to get up there. So there's a series of steps. There's six steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if I want to get up to this level, I've got to take a certain number of steps. Pretty simple, isn't it? Same way spiritually. When we get saved, you know, we're on the ground level. Yeah, we're going into heaven, but God wants us to grow as Christians. He wants us to mature. He wants us to go to another plane spiritually. And that involves taking steps. And when we take those steps, we will get closer to the Lord, and we will be more where He wants us to be. And not we're not going to be super Christians, but we're going to be on a higher level spiritually. It's not spooky stuff. I'm just trying to say we grow. God wants us to take steps. But if we refuse to take those steps, we're not going to be where God wants us to be. So if we're here and God wants us up here and we take those steps, we'll get where He wants us to be. But if God wants us up here and we don't take those steps, where are we remaining? We're remaining down low, and we have a low life. And many Christians think, well, I just don't want to take that step. And you're living low. You have a low life. It's low living. You don't feel very confident. You don't feel like you got a lot of peace. God wants us to take the next step. Okay? And we just need to do that. Don't be content being down there when God wants you up here. Okay? So let's look quickly at a few steps. We won't cover them all. But I want to cover some of them. The first one is the step of surrender. And if you would turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Now, near the end of the message, I'm going to get back there. So, if you want to put something in there, that's great. We will get back there, hopefully, at the end of the message. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I want to see the first step, and that's the step of surrender. These are not necessarily in any the exact order that we have to take them as Christians, okay? But they are important steps that God wants us to take. It's up to us to determine which God wants us to take next. And this is chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is addressing Christians here. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. In other words, he says, you need to surrender your life. These are not, by the way, there's no steps to getting saved. You simply need to repent of your sin and trust Christ to forgive you of your sin. But here we see something that was written to Christians. After a person gets saved, God wants that person to wholly, unreservedly present their life to God and say, here I am, use me. Put your life in His hands. Now, November 26th, 1986, I attended a Thanksgiving Eve service in my church back in Connecticut. I was worldly, but I decided to go to church at the invitation of my brother. So inviting people out to church does help. Amen? And the message hit home. It really convicted me. He preached about living a life of thanksgiving, not just thanksgiving with your mouth. And my life, man, I didn't show any thankfulness to God. It was all about me. And it hit home. And that evening, I decided, I mean, I went down forward, man, I was sobbing. I'm just confessing my sin. And I'm saying, Lord, here's my life. Take my life. Do something with it. I'm sorry for being so selfish. And I've had to do that many times afterwards also. But it all started that night. And that was a turning point in my life. It really was, because it was the time where I finally decided, hey, it's not about me anymore. I'm just going to go. I got to let go. I got to give in and let God have His way. Now, again, I've had to do that many times since then, but I had to do it at least. I had to start somewhere. And so do you. And if you've never just said, Lord, here it is. Take my life and do something with it. Well, you need to take that step of surrender. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. That means it's a decision, and it's a decision we should all take. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. We're called as Christians to follow His steps, to take the steps that He took. Well, that's pretty important. Did Jesus surrender everything? Sure did. Surrender is a step that's vital for our forward progress. It actually makes all the other decisions much easier. It makes all the other steps so much easier if we're just to resign, Lord, have Thine own way. We sing the song, don't we? Well, it's a lie sometimes, isn't it? Have Thine own way in someone else's life. Let me have my own way. If we're going to be honest, that's what we'd be singing. Have you ever dedicated your life to God? It makes all the difference in the world. It makes the rest of the steps much easier. As long as you hold something back from the Lord, your way ways are not going to be pleasing to Him. He won't be delighting in your path. So that's the step of surrender. There's another step I want to talk about, and that's the step of submission. Step of submission. If you would turn back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. The step of submission. We find here in verse 37. Now, let me give you one of the definitions of submission. One of the definitions of submission is simply this: obedience. Okay? It means to follow the commands of a superior. In this case, it's God. He's the superior. As I mentioned before, He makes the rules, and we need to obey the rules. And certainly, we've got to follow all of God's commands. But I want to focus in on the first two that we kind of see here with some people who got saved. So there's some people in the Bible who got saved, and then they were told to do something. And we'll see the first two things that they did. And that should make sense to us, that those probably are the first two things that we should do. And it says here in Acts 2:37, Peter had preached. Now when they had heard this, the preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, that's a good question. Anytime you hear preaching, you should always be asking, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I be doing with this? I've heard this teaching. I've heard this preaching. What should I be doing with this? What do you want me to do next?" That was a good question they had. In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, "Repent." That was the first thing they were told to do. That was saying, "Hey, you need to see your sins are going to take you to hell. You need to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior." That's salvation. That was the first thing that we all must do. But after we get saved, there's the step that He tells us to take. Now, the step of baptism is here. He says, "Repent and be what? Baptized." That's a step. We don't have to be baptized to get into heaven. It does not wash away sins. It's not the waters of baptism. We don't sing, "What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the waters of baptism." We don't sing that. Why? Because that doesn't wash away our sins. The hymn writer got it right. "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So we're not getting baptized to become a child of God or to be saved or have our sins washed away. We're getting baptized out of a step of obedience to Jesus Christ. We're taking a step to identify with Him publicly, saying, "He is my Savior. I did trust His death, burial, and resurrection." So here's the waters of baptism. We go under the water, it's a picture of His death. We come, when we're underneath there, it's a picture of His burial. When we come out of the water, it's a picture of His resurrection. So when we get baptized, we're publicly stating, "Hey, I've trusted the death, the burial, and Jesus, in resurrection of Jesus Christ for my salvation." Boy, why wouldn't we want to take that first step? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Or maybe you really never did get saved and you know it. Well, why don't you get saved? Why don't you repent? And then after you repent, take the first step. So the steps of submission is just to obey God. And I'm giving you two of them. The first one is to get baptized. And if we won't take the first step, it's going to be pretty difficult to take the next step. And once we start taking a step, the next step becomes easier. You know, children are born, and they're not born walking, are they? They take a step. They take another step. Our son, he didn't learn to walk. He just learned to run. His first step wasn't a walk. It was run. He just started full. He still loves running today. I don't know him. He was born running, but he was born that way. But not really. He had to take steps. Don't miss the point. After a child takes his first step, what happens? He gains confidence, and he takes another step, and he takes another step. And the steps follow naturally. If you're struggling to follow God, it's not going to get any better until you take that first step and obey the Lord in baptism. And baptism is so important because it helps us to identify with the Lord. But after that, look what happened there in verse 41. So we're here in verse 41. So the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. What was his word? Repent, get saved. So they did that. What happened then? They were baptized. And what happened after they were baptized? And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Those people were added to the church. They joined the church. That's a step that God wants us to take, to be part of the body of Christ, the local church. And I've had people tell me in years gone by, well, this is my church. I'm a member. Well, that just because you attend does not make you a member. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized by immersion. And then you need to make a conscious effort to join the church. Okay? The church decides who comes into the membership. Okay, so we've got to make a decision. We need to take a step to do that. Now, how long did it take these? Let me read this verse, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same what? Day they were headed unto them about 3,000 souls. Did it take 6 months for them to just finally decide, this is the church for me? I mean, people go church shopping, and they're church shopping for 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I just haven't found the right one. Well, you're just not taking a step for all that time that God wants you to take. If you're looking to find the perfect church, you'll never join one. Okay? And if you do, it won't be perfect once you get in it. Now, notice that these people were serious. Look in verse 42. And they, what's the next word? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. These people were serious. They continued. They made church a high priority. A high priority. Say, well, I come to church when work permits it. It might be time to find a new job. Listen, if your job only lets you get into church once a month, then I think maybe God would help you find something different. Because God wants us to be a part of his local church. It needs to be a high priority. I'm not saying everyone should go out and quit their job. I'm just saying we need to learn to put God first. You know, we have services. You know, we have Sunday school. Oh, man, Sunday school's great. I learn a lot. I love Growing in Grace Sunday School class. And yes, that is an advertisement. I love it. I mean, Pastor Armour Koss was laying it down, breaking it down today on wisdom. And I'm sitting there taking notes. And I love it. I learn so much. You say, are you still growing in grace? Why wouldn't I? We all need to be growing. I love it. And I love putting together the lessons. You know why? Because I'm getting more in the Word and I'm learning more. I love that. I mean, if I didn't take that step to come to Sunday school, I'd be missing out. And I love the evening service. Why? Because I can come and get challenged again. I don't know about you, but I got lots of needs. And somewhere along the line, coming to church, God's going to touch my heart about some of those needs. If I don't take that step, God may have had the very answer to my problem at church, the service I decided not to go to. And I didn't take the step that God wanted me to take, and I missed the blessing that he had for me. And wow. We need to take steps. Steps, a step of surrender, a step of submission. Lord, I'm going to obey because you said it. It's not comfortable. I might not like it. But I found many, so often, when there was some step God wanted me to take, that maybe I was apprehensive or fearful to take, or maybe I plain flat out didn't want to take it. When I got around to taking it, and I saw what God did, it was a blessing. And I'd say, man, why didn't I do that a long time ago? God is so good to us. I mean, some of you are like that with the with your finances, with your budget. Man, I should take a step and set up a budget. I should get serious about my finances. And you've been, you were saying that, you said that for years. And then finally, you were squeezed in such a corner, you had to do something. And you got serious and you made a budget. And you said, wow, this thing works. Why didn't I do this 10 years ago? Because you were stubborn. And you didn't take the step. And you missed a lot of financial blessings along the way. That's just so many different ways. Steps in our homes about disciplining our children. Yeah, I know I better get serious about training them. The rod and reproof give instruction. So God wants us to teach them, and he wants us to discipline them. And when we fail to do that, we fail to take those steps, we're not going to see our children go in the right direction. Man, we need to take the right steps. God wants us to serve him. Now, let's get to the third one. Number three, a step of sanctification. Ooh, sanctification. Well, sanctification is not really that difficult. It's a word that many people use in churches and in spiritual jargon, but they have no idea what it means. They go around saying, man, I'm sanctified. I'm sanctified. Yeah, me too. What does it mean? I don't know, but I'm sanctified. Well, sanctification actually has a meaning, and it means, the word literally means to be set apart. And so God wants us to set our lives apart from sin to himself. And sanctification is pretty simple. Here's my life. I'm not going to keep using it to go into sin. I'm going to take my life and try to set it apart for him. That's easier said than done, isn't it? So how do we get sanctified? How do we do that? Well, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he asked the Heavenly Father to sanctify them. And in his prayer, we read how God sanctifies people, how God sets people apart. And so John 17:17 reads this. This is Jesus' prayer. He says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So you're not going to get sanctified without the Bible. You and I need to be in the book. That's why it's good for us to be in church. That's why it's good for us to be in Sunday school. That's why it's good for us to be in the evening service. We need to take steps to get in the Word of God, but it's not just enough to do that. We've got to get into the Word daily for ourselves and take that step. Some of you have heard many times from this pulpit that you need to be in the Word of God every day, having a daily time of devotion. That's a pretty good idea, you say. You've heard that you need to take some time as a family and get in the Word of God. That's a good idea. But you haven't taken the step. Now, how can we take a step toward being set apart from sin and be more holy for the Lord? Just like I said, have that daily time of devotional, a time where you read God's word, he speaks to you, and you pray to him, and you speak to him. It's pretty simple. You walk with God. He speaks to you, you take a step, and then you have questions, you ask him, he clarifies it, and then you take the next step. You ask for wisdom, he gives you wisdom. It's such a blessing to walk with God. We call it having daily devotions. If you don't read your Bible and pray every day, it's time to take that step. It will change your life. I jotted down a couple of benefits of reading the Bible every day and how it will help you. First of all, if you want to know some of the benefits, it gives wisdom. Okay, it gives wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So wisdom, the Lord gives us wisdom. Wisdom, as we heard in our Growing in Grace Sunday School class, will help you make the right decisions. In other words, it'll prevent you from making foolish decisions. You ever make a stupid decision? That's because you didn't have wisdom. Had you been in God's Word like you should have, and decided to follow it like you should have, and like I should have, then we would make less foolish decisions. Some people They're not going to make that commitment to be in the Word of God every day. Well, they're just going to make one foolish decision after another, and their life's going to be a mess. So I'm doing pretty good without it. Yeah. Yeah. You know. It also prevents backsliding. Psalm 37, verse 31, the law of his God, talking about the man who meditates in his word, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Wow. I don't have to have steps that slide backwards into sin and toward the devil and toward shame if I'm in the Word of God and letting his word be in my heart. I need to take that step to be in his word. Man, it's going to prevent me from backsliding. It cleanses our minds. John 15:3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You ever feel dirty inside? Get in the book. Man, it cleans you up. It gets you thinking straight. It shows you where you've been wrong. You confess that sin. You let God forgive you and cleanse you and pick you back up and carry you on through. It helps us to grow in 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It gives us strength. My soul melteth for the heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You ever need strength? It comes from the Bible. You neglect the Bible? It's like you're not getting your daily dose of vitamins. That was Psalm 119:28. It provides comfort. Man, we get downhearted. We get discouraged. Things don't go well in our lives, and some people go straight into depression. There's a cure for that. We don't have to be down in the dumps all the time. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience, now get this, and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The comfort of the Scriptures, yes. So when I feel hopeless, I can go to the Bible and he gives me hope and he gives me comfort, he gives me peace, and I don't have to stay down. Wow, it is good. It gives us warnings and blessings. Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them, by what? The word of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I find warnings about don't do this, don't do that. Why? Because if I do, I'm going to have some problems. God wants me to avoid problems. So I get in the book. Young people, get in the book. You'll avoid a lot of trouble. It'll help you take a lot of the right steps the rest of your life. The Bible can do so much for us. Why on earth wouldn't we want to read it every day? I don't understand. Remember that God tells us not only to read it, but to study it. It's a command. He says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, getting in the book. It's a command. Take that next step. Start reading the word of God every day. I told you I'd have to cut out a couple of these. Let me go quickly through this one. Step number four, the step of sacrifice. Sacrifice. You say, really? You know, by nature, we're pretty selfish people. And when we begin to follow the Lord, we will begin to act like him. We read that verse earlier. We should follow in his steps. Now, God is giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he's giving. He gave his life for us. And we should learn to give to him and to sacrifice for others. The happy life is not the one who's self-centered and just getting everything for themselves. The happy life is the one who gives. Jesus said, it is more blessed to do what? Give than to receive. It's more happy. We'll have a happier life if we learn how to give than just try to get all the time. And the Bible says to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So sacrificing, giving to God, giving to others, helping people in need, it's well-pleasing to God. That means we're taking a step that we should take, and that means he's going to delight in our life, and that means he's going to bless us. Do you tithe? Do you give an offering? Do you help other people who have needs? Many of you do, and your life is blessed as a result of it. Amen? T- take that next step and learn to sacrifice a bit of your time, a bit of your talent, a bit of your treasure, and watch and see what God will do. There's another step, this is number five, the step of separation. There are things in this world that pull us away from God, aren't there? And those things prevent us from taking steps that'll please Him. It makes sense then to get away from Him. All right? Take some steps to get away. You know, it might be a favorite pastime, a friend that is absolutely no good for you, or some forms of entertainment that are not godly. Now, these can be difficult steps to take, the step of separation, because they're usually things that we like. But God wants us to take that step. And once we've surrendered to Him, we'll take it that step by faith. We'll withdraw from evil, and you know, we'll actually find that God's plan works. What we think we're giving up, He gives us so much more and something so much better in return. You know, I found that when I gave up some bad friends, God gave me some really, really good Christian friends. People who were there for me, who cared for me, who loved me. You're not giving up anything for God. You're gaining. Man, learn to separate. Separate. Get away from that stuff. Filling our minds filled with garbage? That helps you think straight? No. That's why people are in such a mess in their minds. Oh, God's so good to us. But we need to learn to make that decision to separate from evil. Moses had to take a step of faith and to get away from evil. And in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, he was growing up in Pharaoh's house. Hey, man, you've got to admit, you got to think. Imagine the food that he was eating. All the, I mean, he had everything, the luxuries that he could have enjoyed, and he was enjoying, but he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then he says he was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. See, he said, I can have all this, but I know it's short term, and I'm going to turn my back on it, and I'm going to do it by faith. And when we do it by faith, God loads us up with blessings. You think Moses has any regrets in heaven today? Absolutely not. He's enjoying some really good blessings because he gave up Egypt. And we can get a lot of those blessings too. Separating from the world is not only wise, it's something God tells us to do. It's a command. He tells us in that in 2 Corinthians 6:17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them, those unbelievers, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And, here's the promise, I will receive you. If you'll take that step and separate from evil, that thing you know is wrong, then here's the blessing, I will receive you. I will help you. Oh, man, we don't give up anything. Take that next step of separation. Then let me quickly last, we'll look at the next one, and that is the step of service. This is an exciting step. Okay, God has a special purpose for every member of the church. Really? Okay, now, and you can turn, now I mentioned you can turn to we'll get to the end, Romans 12. See this in just a moment, Romans 12, but I'm going to read a verse out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 for you. So God has a special purpose for every member of the church. He saved us for a reason, to do something for Him. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, for we, talking about the saved people and in the church, are His workmanship. So God created us and made us something special for a reason. He says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That means we should take some steps to do those good works and to fit in and serve in our local church. That is what God, that's why He saved us. And He created us, a new person. And he's ordained, He's ordered that we would walk in those new steps and fulfill those good works and do those acts of kindness and service for Him. And you can look up later, I don't have time, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 and verse 16, how God talked about He gave the men of God to perfect the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. It's the job of the saints. That's to save people in the church, to do the work of the ministry. Many of you did some of that today. You were in Sunday school classes teaching. You were helping on the bus routes. Some were you in the nursery in the first hour. Some are there right now. Some are in the junior church classes. Some will be cleaning the church after in the afternoon. So many people do so many things to help this church keep on moving. That's serving the Lord. Now, in Romans 12, let me wrap this up here. Verse number 4. I want you to see also that God has a special function for you to perform. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. That word office means function, kind of a duty. So we, being many, okay, many members, are one body. Yeah, we're one church in Christ. And every one members one of another. Then it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, then He gives those gifts, and He tells us to use those gifts. And we don't have time to go into all those gifts and what they mean, but I just want you to understand something, that God has made each one of us different and has given us each a different gift to perform the function He wants us to do in the church. If you haven't taken the step to join the church, you can't take the step to serve in the church. Not properly. Because He gives these gifts to the members of the church. Not the attenders. If you attend and you won't come up to Pastor Darren and say, I want to teach one of the Sunday school classes. We don't do it that way. Because that's not how God said to do it. God said, the members. And so God wants us to take a step and join. We join, we begin to grow, we're faithful, as it said there, they continued in the Apostles' Doctrine back there in chapter 2. We grow, we learn, we mature. God begins working in our hearts, saying, hey, there's something I've got for you to do. And then you seek out one of the pastors of the church, the leadership, and say, hey, you know, maybe there's something God wants me to do. They pray about it, you pray about it, and then God will lead you. And He'll give you a function to do in this church. That's a step. Some of you have taken that step. You got baptized. You've taken that step. You've joined the church. And you've been growing. Amen. You took a step. You took another step. And now, He says, time to start serving. All right, praise the Lord. Take another step. It's time to do something else. Okay, I'll do that too, Lord. Time to start sacrificing a little bit. Yep, do that. You let something in your life come back in. Oop, better get that out. Take another step. And you know, we're just getting closer and closer to the Lord. We're taking those steps. We're getting to a higher level. We're not super Christians. We're just people who've taken some steps to follow the Lord. And who gets the glory? Us? No. God gets the glory. And He is the one who deserves it. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Joining that church is just one step. Get faithful, grow, and ask the Lord to help you. So what if we don't take the steps that God wants us to take? Well, first of all, you won't please Him. Second of all, you won't be where He wants you to be. Thirdly, there's some consequences for that. You'll miss His best for your life. Fourthly, you will lose His protection because you didn't follow Him. And then fifth, you'll lose God's provision because He had a blessing, and His blessing was found where the steps would have led you, but you didn't want to be there. You missed out on His provision. And you'll lose God's peace because you know you're living in disobedience. I don't know what step God has been putting on your heart. It's not just for brand new Christians. Certainly there's a lot of steps a brand new Christian needs to take. Don't get overwhelmed. Just take one step at a time. Amen? But if you won't take that first step, how on earth do you expect to grow for the Lord and to have a successful Christian life and to get your answers to prayer and see God working in your family Don't be overwhelmed by all the steps we've talked about. Just take one at a time, and God will show you which one to take. Are you living down there today, knowing you need to take some steps? What is the step God wants you to take? Why don't you determine to take it? We don't have to remain down there. We can take some steps, get closer to the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.